This is Alive with Joseph.
So tonight we are going to be looking at the title, or laboring under the title, When Jesus Shows Up, Your Story Matters. Turn to somebody and say, when Jesus shows up, your story matters. Turn to somebody else and say, when Jesus shows up, your story matters. You see, that's why I like Alive Church, because we are robust. When we pray, we are audible, man. When we talk, because we are confident in what God can do. So there's something to be said about when Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, it is not like any other day. When Jesus enters a room, things are compelled to change. So when Jesus shows up in a situation, things cannot remain the same. We have given our lives to Jesus. And because we have given our lives to Jesus, something has to change. Something has changed over the years, and something will continue to change. You cannot say, because I've been born again 10 years, I've been born again 15 years, 20 years, I have arrived. No, because Jesus has entered your life, something must change. Turn to somebody and say, something must change. Shake them and say, something. I don't know what is that something that needs to change in your life, but when Jesus enters the situation, something must change. So the probability of situations to resisting change are nullified by the presence of Jesus in them. As we will see in the scripture that we'll read here tonight. So your life cannot remain the same when Jesus shows up in your life. We will get our reading from the book of John chapter 11, from verse 39 to 44 in the King James Version. John 11, 39 to 44 in the King James Version. We read from there. It says, from verse 38 to 44, excuse me. It says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, the Amplified here says, deeply moved to the point of anger, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, so turn to somebody and say, Jesus spoke. Jesus. It says, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, there's a smell, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Turn to somebody and say, you will see the glory of God. Turn to somebody else and say, you will see the glory of God. You see, child of God, this weekend we will see the glory of God. Do not be mistaken, we will see the glory of God. So you better get your faith charged up, come into this place with faith and saying, I will see the glory of God. These are not the words of men, but the words of Jesus. And he's saying, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Turn to somebody and say, if you believe. Verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 43 says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Turn to somebody and say, Lazarus, come forth. You see, the Bible says that Jesus cried with a loud voice. It does not say that Jesus whispered. So turn to somebody and say, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Now you're getting it. Verse 44 says, and he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Turn to somebody and say, loose him. And let him go. Well, hallelujah. I want us to look at this scripture, but in my study of this scripture, I realized that there are words that Jesus said that were kind of commands, and I have put them as chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 of what Jesus has said. Allow me this evening to only start at chapter 2. Chapter 2 of what Jesus said is in verse 39, where he says, take away the stone. Turn to somebody and say, take away the stone. There comes a point in our Christian walk where certain things need to bring us a holy anger. There are things that in your Christian walk that are not right. There are things in your life that are not right. And they need to bring you to a place of holy anger. The Bible tells us that Jesus loved Lazarus, but he delayed by 4 days. But because Lazarus had died, Jesus became angered, not by the death, but by death itself. Jesus does not want to see dead things being in operation in our life. Can you say amen? Amen. So this brought Jesus a holy anger. And as children of God, we need to develop a holy anger against things that God does not want in our lives. There are things such as poverty. There are things such as not having enough, a shortfall. There are things such as business failure. There are things such as the lack of promotion. Yes, you've worked 10 years. Yes, you've worked 20 years. How can it be that you are not getting promotion? As a child of God, the Bible says that whatever your hand lays on is blessed. So if you are blessed, there are certain things that need to be a part of your life. So those things that are not coming to pass in your life should bring upon you a holy anger. Turn to somebody and say, a holy anger. A holy anger is going to enable you to stand up at 5 a.m. in the morning and pray. A holy anger is going to ensure that you come to church when there is a church service. A holy anger is going to ensure that this weekend you are around to experience the glory of God in the conference. So there are things that should bring you a holy anger. Shout again, a holy anger. So there are things that should trigger a holy anger in you. There are things that you should not accept. The Bible says this made Jesus angry, and he said to them, take away the stone. So our holy anger provokes a supernatural change in the realms of the spirit. We have tools of the spirit that we have been given to apply, such as the sword of the spirit, which the Bible calls the word of God, right? So prayer is one of these weapons. The word of God is one of these weapons. So child of God, there are things that should provoke you to anger so that you can provoke change in the realms of the spirit. There are things in our lives that the devil thinks that are done and dusted. The devil thought Lazarus was dead. Lazarus wasn't dead for 1 day. He wasn't dead for 2 days. He wasn't dead for 3, but for 4 days. The devil thought it was over. There are certain circumstances in your life where the devil thinks it's over. He thinks it's done, it's dusted, it's gone, it's buried. They've put the stone on the mouth of the cave. They've put a stone over whatever is in your life. But you should have an anger to say, today, take away the stone. Turn to somebody and say, take away the stone. Hallelujah. So the enemy tries to convince us that these things are dead, that these things are smelling. When we read the Bible, we hear that Martha, when Jesus spoke and said, take away the stone. Let's listen to the words of Martha, the sister of him who was dead. I like the way the Bible puts it. It says, the sister of him who was dead. It doesn't even just say the sister of Lazarus. God, this guy is dead. It's finished. The sister of him who is dead. But anyway, Martha speaks some very interesting words. Martha says, Lord, by this time, there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. So there are things that we learn about this statement that Martha made. We can see that she was panicking. That showed that there was a lack of faith on the part of Martha. So, child of God, when things are not going the way they should be going, do not panic. Turn to somebody and say, do not panic. Maybe you're 34 years old and you say, I am not married yet. Who's going to marry me? Turn to somebody and say, if that's you, do not panic. Turn to somebody else and say, do not panic. Maybe you're 25 years old and you don't have the job of your dreams. Do not panic. Turn to somebody and say, do not panic. Turn to somebody else and say, do not panic. So we can see here that Martha, the sister of him who was dead, was panicking. She was panicking and saying that, Jesus, there is a smell. So there are people around you who have secretly given up on you. There are people around us who have given up on us. Because the second thing that we see about Martha here is that she had thrown in the towel. She had given up. She had accepted. She had been comforted to say, your brother is dead. Accept it. They had put the tent in the yard. They had come to preach and make sure that the family is comforted. You know, from Puti funeral, they had taken out their best cars to go bury Lazarus. Martha was comforted. Martha had accepted this, and she had thrown in the towel. So, child of God, there are people around you who have secretly given up on you. And there are other people who like the outcome. They like seeing you in the same place. There's that boss at work who likes it when you are not promoted. He knows you're a hard worker. There's somebody who you do business with, but he likes to see the bank account, you know, of your business being where it is. But he knows that you are good. So these people, I'm not going to say stay away from them. I'm just going to say note them. Turn to somebody and say, note them. No, you must say it like only 2,000. Turn to somebody else and say, note them. Because those people, whether we like it or not, exist in our lives. Some of them lack faith, but we need to note them. So when Jesus shows up, they will tell him there's already a stench. So you will come to church, you will pray, you will read your Bible, but they will tell you nothing will change. They will tell you things will stay the same. They'll tell you, you've been going to church for how many years now? Look at your life. It's in shambles. It's a mess. But they don't know that Jesus possesses the power to resurrect things that are dead and calls the dead as though they live. Amen. The second thing that I want us to look at is chapter 3, which says, where Jesus speaks in verse 43 and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Turn to somebody and say, Lazarus, come forth. So when Jesus shows up, he always addresses the issue at hand. Jesus does not dance around your issue. So whatever issue you have, Jesus does not dance around it. When Jesus came to the family stead or the family home of Lazarus, he wasn't there to drink tea and eat cookies. He wasn't there asking them, how many cows did you kill? He wasn't there for that. Another thing, when Jesus was at the homestead of Lazarus, he wasn't there to comfort Mary and Martha. He was not there for that. So we must understand that when Jesus shows up, he addresses the issue at hand. Turn to somebody and say, he addresses the issue at hand. So whatever issues you have tonight, whatever issues you have in your life, Jesus shows up to address those very issues. So Martha and Mary, we did not read this, but beforehand, he asks them, where have you laid him? That's chapter 1. We won't be going into that today. But he says, where have you laid him? They could have said to Jesus, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. Sit down, drink some tea. We'll give you some Sprite. Sit down. The pots are getting ready, Jesus. But he knew that he was there to address the issue at hand. He was not there to comfort them. So, child of God, do not allow the naysayers, the people out there, to comfort you about your issue and say to you, there are no jobs. To say to you, there are no jobs. Some people say, banna ba fedile. Some people say to you that, you know, your income will not increase. That, you know, the world economy is in a terrible place. We do not operate with the economy of this world. We operate with the economy of heaven. So turn to somebody and say, you operate the economy of heaven. That's why our economy is operated by giving and receiving. It's operated by tithing. So we are not paying God to make us rich. We are not paying God to somehow favor us. But we are operating the economy of heaven. So Jesus arrives and he addresses the dead Lazarus, right? He says, Lazarus, come forth. So allow the hand of God to work in your real life situation. Do not hide where you are for God. When you come to church, you come for God to touch you. You do not come here to look cute. You do not come here to show us your latest suit or your latest outfit or your new car, but you come here for God to address your issues. So, child of God, if you are a shouter, shout. If you are a prayer, pray. If you want to lie down on the floor prostrate, do that. If you want to kneel down, kneel down. Do not come to church to be cute. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was not sleeping. Lazarus had not gone on a trip to Australia. Lazarus was dead. And we all have dead situations in our lives here and there. There are things that we want God to resurrect. Maybe you want God to work in your business. Maybe you want God to work on your career. There are dead issues. And when we come to church, that's what we address. Those dead issues. Because we know that where two or three are gathered, He shows up. So we know that when Jesus shows up, situations change. I'd like us to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11, where the Bible says in the New King James Version that, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit dwells in us and he works in our mortal bodies. So he wants to work in our mortal bodies. So in our physical situations. Our spirit is born again, right? So God has worked on the inner us. But what he's working on is the outward things. So our minds, our hearts. If you need a job, if you need a husband, if you need a wife, if you need a job, attach whatever name. That's what Jesus is going to show up for. You know, these people thought that Jesus wasn't going to show up. They had given up because when he arrived, they told him, if you had been here. Oh, you know, there are some things that we feel, God, if you had acted earlier. God, if you had been here, child of God, leave that behind you. The past is gone. Focus on what God is going to do for you, is doing in your life. Because right now, behind the scenes, God is working in your life. Turn to somebody and say, behind the scenes, baby. God is working behind the scenes. So some things will require you to be loud. Some things will require you to address them in a loud voice. The Bible says in verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. So Jesus didn't whisper and say, Lazarus, come forth. Maybe you're praying and you're ashamed about certain things and you want them to change and you're saying, God, can you give me a husband? God, can I have a job? Because the person sitting next to you maybe is wearing an expensive tacky and you don't want them to know that you don't have a job. And so your prayers are difelamo. They are limited. You don't want them to go out there. But maybe because he's wearing that expensive shoe, maybe he'll give you a job. So we never know how God will work in our situations. So some situations require you to be loud. Turn to somebody and say, you need to be loud. Oh, you said it like you're whispering. Turn to somebody and said, you need to be loud. Hallelujah. Now you're getting it. There's nothing wrong with being loud. Jesus was loud. So there's nothing wrong with being loud. Sometimes you need to give God a loud praise. There is nothing wrong with giving God a loud praise. Hallelujah. And some situations require you to be direct. Turn to somebody and say, you need to be direct. Sometimes we skirt around issues. The Bible says that the children of Israel were going around the mountain. How many times? And that delayed them. So sometimes we need to be direct and say, this is what God has promised me, and I will, with my faith, get my hands on it. Some circumstances require that you be extra. Turn to somebody and say, be extra. Sometimes that's what's needed in our lives, to be extra, to say, I know I do a good job at the office, so my boss might know I do a good job. I know that in the business that I am in, I'm doing a good job, so I must tell people, if you can't pay this price, I'm the best. God will provide for me. God will bring the right clients. So sometimes, say it like a 2000 and say it to somebody, you need to be extra, you know. So the will of God is that you and I should come forth. Jesus spoke to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus didn't skirt around the issue and say, I bind the spirit of death. I cut this down. I bind and I deliver. I cast down. He spoke to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. So sometimes, actually, most of the time, the will of God for our lives is that we should come forth. That situations should come forth. Interestingly, I looked at that word forth, in the Thayer's Concordance of the Bible, it says that the meaning there for forth can be explained as without, out of doors, right? Strong's Concordance of the Bible says the word forth is the word strange, right? So Jesus was saying to Lazarus, come out without any doors, right? So death was a place that you enter and don't come out of. But Jesus was saying, Lazarus, even if there are no doors, come out of there, right? So the devil will convince you that the doors are closed on you in whatever situation. You need to understand that Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. So he's saying, even if there are no doors, you need to come out somehow. So God is saying to you and I that even if you don't see the way out, even if you don't know how you're going to get out, maybe you have debt and maybe you are 100,000 rand in the red. You don't know how you're going to come out of that situation. But Jesus is saying, even if there's not a door, even if you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, Lazarus, come forth. So you and I are not supposed to be worried about the particulars of what Jesus says needs to happen. If Jesus says, I will do it for you, you don't need to say, Jesus, give me a business plan. Jesus, give me a business proposal. Write me a research report about how many have come out of this situation. Jesus is saying, Lazarus, come forth. That is the will of God for you and I, child of God. That is not the will of the enemy. That is not the will of the world. It is the will of God for you and I. You and I need to embrace the will of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying we should come out with no doors. And before we run out of time, let us look at chapter 4 where Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Turn to somebody and say, loose him and let him go. At this point, we must look at the fact that Jesus was not speaking to Lazarus. Jesus was speaking to the people around Lazarus. Jesus was speaking to the people who were watching this. Because when he prayed, he said that I am doing it for the benefit of those who don't believe. So maybe you are in that situation because God knows he's going to bring you out and some people are going to get born again because they know that you could not get yourself out. They have been putting their foot on your head knowing this one, he will not come out. But Jesus speaks to those people and he says, loose him and let him go. So we deduct from this that Jesus will use others to help loose and let you go. Child of God, this is a reality that we must consider, a reality that we must accept, that Jesus will sometimes use others to loose us out of situations. So this does not mean that we should rely on others. These people that loosed him and let him go were not the people who said, Lazarus, come forth. So we must forget and not look for favors from others. We know that our eye is on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfect. He will perfect everything that concerns us. So look to him because when you got born again, he was the author. But child of God, going forward, he is the perfecter of everything that concerns us. So we do not look to the people around us to say, maybe they'll give me a promotion. Maybe they'll give me business. Maybe this brother will think I'm cute. Maybe I will make enough money at the end of the month. No, no, we look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So it does not mean that we should rely on others, but it means that they will help us. They will be compelled to help us. Because they will be compelled to help us on heaven's orders. Turn to somebody and say, on heaven's orders. On heaven's orders. I like that part, because whether your boss wants to promote you or not, that promotion will come on heaven's orders. The very same man will sign for you and say, be promoted, whether he likes it or not. The very people who say, we will not buy from this business, they will be coming and said, we have looked all over. We can only find this product here. The quality is good. Not because you are something special, sweetheart, but because of heaven's orders. Hallelujah. But the thing that we must look at, even as we close, is that it can sometimes be a messy situation when God uses others to remove our grave clothes. Yes, heaven will intervene. It will make sure, heaven will make sure the situation is compelled to change. Turn to somebody and say, compelled to change. Turn to somebody else and say, compelled to change. Maybe somebody needs to hear that. Maybe your faith is down and you're thinking it won't change. Turn to somebody and say, compelled to change. Hallelujah. As I was saying, it sometimes gets messy when God uses others to remove our grave clothes. The dead man could not remove the grave clothes from himself. Because when you remove grave clothes, what can happen is one of three things. It may be stinky. So sometimes God might use people to advise you. And it might not be comfortable. Because when they remove the grave clothes, like they did with the mummies, they were able to deduct from practices in Egypt that people were mummified, right? They tie them with cloth. So he would not have been able to remove the cloth himself. So Jesus says to them that they should do what? That they should loose him and let him go, right? So sometimes God will use others to advise you, but not everybody. We need a spirit of discernment that tells us when God is speaking. So he will bring the right people around you. So baby girl, when somebody advises you, don't feel like you should be a know-it-all. None of us know it all. So God will use people. And when he does that, it may stink. What does that mean? Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So when they removed those grave clothes, I'm sure some of them were stinking. Because I don't know about you, but I don't wear clothes for 4 days. For obvious reasons. Right? So when God is using others in your life, it might stink. Another thing that we see is that it may hurt. Maybe his flesh had started rotting, and because it was rotting, when they were removing it, it was removing parts of his skin. So sometimes when God fixes you, when God says to you, wake up in the morning and pray, when God says, read your Bible, it might hurt. Sometimes when he uses others to tell you things that you are not comfortable with, my brother, my sister, it is not because people hate you. It is God working in your life. You know, come on, give God a praise right there. Hallelujah. So sometimes the words that are preached in this pulpit might hurt you. It is not because pastor hates you. It is not because mama hates you. It is because God is speaking from this very platform to help you. Turn to somebody and say, to help you. And so our spiritual ears must be circumcised so that we should be able to realize when God is speaking to us. You know, there are some things that pastor says on this pulpit sometimes. And I think my wife told him something. Because, in the men's meeting there, I'm like, my wife had a discussion with pastor. This is about me, Mus. Right? But you must be able to realize when God is speaking. Turn to somebody and say, you need to realize when God is speaking. Turn to somebody else and say, you need to realize when God is speaking. And lastly, before we land the plane here, I'd like to say, it may look dirty and soiled. So sometimes cleaning up your life might look dirty and soiled. So when they removed those clothes from him, they were probably dirty. They were probably soiled. They could not be used anymore. But I don't think Lazarus took those clothes and he put them in his wardrobe and said, yeah, no, a very difficult time in my life. I don't think Lazarus did that. I think Lazarus took those things and burned them. He threw them away. So, child of God, there are things you need to burn. There are things you need to throw away. You are a new creature. You not only have light, you are light. So you need to walk in that in this year. You need to realize that it's dirty. It's soiled. It's over. God did it. I was dead, but I am alive. I was in the grave. The stone is removed. I am alive. God is working in my situation. Devil, you thought you had me, but God is working. God did it. Give somebody a high five and say, God did it. Turn to somebody else and say, God did it. Now give God a praise. Give God a shout. Give him praise tonight because he is worthy. I think you can do better than that. I think you need to give God a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is worthy, for he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in our lives. Come on, give God a praise. Give God a shout. He's worthy. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.